Hey Podders, welcome to episode 87 of CosPod, the podcast for all things cosplay. As Val does a dance, clearly we are in a very good mood today, as there is a whole bunch of things going on in the world of cosplay.
But we're staying busy. Off.
Yes, we are definitely staying busy. So let's start off, as we do, with cosplay update.
Yeah, I do, actually. I guess I will go ahead and round this out with, you guys saw last time that I was in, like, Star Heaven. I'm still in Star Heaven, but the stars have been reduced, thank goodness. I've been sitting at my sewing machine and have been studiously doing a lot of applique work. Here's my thing with applique. I like applique a lot, like, a really, really lot. And I like embroidery a lot, a really, really lot. For this particular costume that I'm working on, there's technically no stitching on the applique. You just kind of slap the stars on the dress and you're all good. I personally think that looks ugly and not finished and refined, so I went through and I made sure to get the nice stitching on all of the stars. It was a lot of flipping stars. And it's not just the outside. It's a cutout star, so I have to do the inside as well. And I ran out of thread halfway through. So Joann's was having a sale on thread 40% off, so I bought more black thread on top of that. So yeah, I've been basically appliquing all week long, and I finished up this lovely little guy. Yay! His name is Luma. He is not only my plushie friend, he doubles as a purse. He is awesome in so many ways. So this is my costume. It's Rosalina from Super Mario Galaxy, in particular her Smash Brothers version. So I am like, yay! She's all kinds of awesomes, and I've wanted a pretty dress for a really long time. Not just one to be quote-unquote pretty, but something that I could actually walk around in and be comfortable in, and I can do like things by myself. That's also why I made this buddy, so I can carry my crap somewhere and not have to worry about it. So it'll be nice to have something to kind of laze around in on Sunday at ACON, because that's when I plan on wearing this. I'm just at the point where I'm making all the accessories. Most of them are done. It's just a matter of sanding and painting. So my life is full of stars, but it's almost done, thank goodness, and then I will be moving onward to my next Star Wars costume. Yay! Ah, oh, crap, it's more stars. I just realized that. I said, oh, dang it, Amber. Tell me to stop.
No, keep going.
No, man. I didn't correlate the two. That's terrible.
It's all good.
My head hurts now. Okay, Amber, it's your turn, because now I'm just depressed.
Well, I have done what I can in terms of forcing myself to work on cosplay, which unfortunately sometimes I have to do, because job has kind of gotten in the way just a little bit, especially with working overnights. It's limited what I can get done during the day. But also, I have an IT exam coming up on Monday, a very, very involved, six-hour-long, 250-question IT exam. That if I pass it, my career will do good things, and so will my checkbook, which is good for cosplay. So I've been a little bit limited, but what I've been able to get done is that I've finished the patterning for Presea from Magic Knight Rayearth, and I've finished the patterning for Pyrrha from Ruby. I've already cut out all of the foam bits. The only thing I'm missing is Pyrrha's gorget, or her faux gorget. And then I'll have all the foam bits. Next Saturday, when this actually releases, on the 18th of April, I'm actually going to be live streaming as I sit there and make the armor out of Warbla, which this will be my first experience with Warbla. I've obviously made armor before, but this will be the first time I've worked with Warbla itself. So I'm going to let you guys kind of have a little bit of insight into both how I make armor and how I'm going to be working with Warbla. So I'm doing that at 3:30 p.m. in the afternoon because I have to work on Saturday morning, so I have to sleep first. So that has been the extent of what I've been able to get done with cosplay, because I've been frantically studying in my downtime. It'll be all over on Monday, and then
yay!
I won't have to frantically study anymore.
Right?
Yes, yeah, so there is that. I did get my nice pretty box from fabric.com, and they actually shipped fairly quickly. It got here a full day earlier than what they were planning, and I've been trying to get my Arda money spent, too, so that I can get my wigs done. It's just a matter of getting the right colors, which, for anybody who's ever tried to match a pre-existing wig, is very difficult based on colors.
Like,
not
I'm
the same in real life as it is on your monitor.
I am, like, going a crazy exaggeration on the feigning over here, but, oh, my God, it's such a pain in the butt. It's not even funny.
especially if you're
sucks.
trying to cross brands, which is what I'm trying to do to save a little money, because I have existing wigs I'd like to work with instead of spending the money to buy a whole nother wig. The problem is both matching color and finding them in stock, which is difficult. Since Arda just had a sale, a lot of their stuff is out of stock. So I get to find out on Monday if I get to make my own ponytail clip out of wefts myself, or if the clip that I need and the color that I need will be restocked in May instead of in June. If it's restocked in May, then I'll have it by Akon, and I'll be good. Otherwise, I will be hand-sewing my own ponytail clip.
This sounds like that Val needs to make a tutorial about how to do a ponytail clip.
It's not difficult. You basically take
really
and you sew them to elastic.
Yeah.
And then you get a butterfly clip, effectively, and then you, you know, just right into the hair. Because normally what you would do for ponytails, guys, if you've never done one in a wig, you would do something what's called stubbing the wig, which is pulling the fibers back into a very short little, what is effectively a stub. It's like a trunk. And you chop the rest of the hair off so that it reduces bulk and weight. And then you basically make that stub solid by putting a hell of a lot of glue in it.
That you do. Hang on, I'm pulling one out. Because this is one that I've had to make.
Once you've done that, then you clip the ponytail into the stub so it has something to grip. When you do this, the ponytail wig can only be used for characters with ponytails.
Mm-hmm.
You can't use it for other characters anymore because you've chopped all the hair off and you've stuck adhesive in it. Well, the two wigs that I have, I need to be able to let them down for other characters so I can't stub them. So that's kind of my conundrum, is I found a tutorial on cosplayisland.co.uk where you can pull the hair back into a low ponytail, braid it, and then pin it up so that you get a faux ponytail look without having the weft structure showing underneath. Because most wigs, unless you specifically buy one meant for ponytails, if you pull it back, you'll see the structure underneath and it's not cool in photos.
I've been there. I've done that. I've written many books about it. For those who are curious what Amber's talking about, it looks something like this. This is one that I've actually had to custom make for my upcoming Amidala costume. But it's essentially, I mean, it's just a clip. I just stick it to the back of the wig, and there's my faux ponytail. So there you go. It's a long one, too.
Yeah, they're very straightforward to make. You just have to have the time to sit down and make them.
Or in my case, I have just completely got rid of the netting, and oh my crap, goodness. Okay, hang on. I'm trying not to tangle this. Holy crap. Okay, I'm good. Back in the bag it goes.
A couple of other things that I wanted to mention in the news, cosplay in the news. God Save the Queen Fashions has opened up another set of classes. So if you're in the Atlanta area, please consider taking her classes. They're very good. I recommend them. Record them, even if she charged for them, for, you know, operational expenses, for paying someone to film them, edit them, that sort of thing. I'd be cool with that. So I'm hoping in the future that she will film those classes or have them filmed. Likewise, Arda Wigs is opening up Arda University, where they're going to start teaching wig classes in Chicago, along with other sewing and prop making classes. So I'm hoping that those are also recorded. So again, if you're in Chicago, go to Arda University. Go take their classes. They're very solid classes. The last thing I wanted to mention, speaking of learning, because we're all about learning here at Cospot, is that Yaya Han, happy birthday to her, belated, has basically been asked by McCall Pattern Company, for those who have never worked with commercial patterns, she's been asked to create custom patterns for them. And two of them were revealed on her Facebook and on her social media recently. One of them is a bodysuit pattern. The other is a custom pattern for her peacock costume. Those will be releasing in July in main distribution channels. I believe she is at MegaCon this weekend.
She's at MegaCon this weekend. They won't be available for sale at her booth until C2E2, which is the weekend after, I believe.
That's the one. And I believe you have to show her a picture and mention a particular code word, which we will not give you because you have to go to her site, to get the patterns for $10 each. Otherwise, normally they will retail for $20 each, starting again in July, and they will be available at Joann's.
It's, so, It's like it's cool though. I mean, because I was the one who initially found this post, and you guys know me. I don't like patterns. I've taught you guys how to make newspaper
commercial
patterns. I hate commercial patterns. It's funny is that some of the things that I make, I no longer like make patterns for. It's like, oh, it's a skirt. I know how to make this without having to make a pattern. Done. So there's a lot of things I don't make patterns for anymore. So this is actually the first time where I'm excited for a commercial pattern. I'm curious to see how she made her bodysuit and how easy it will be to actually be able to edit it, maybe even stick the zipper in the back, fingers crossed, because I don't know how that's built. So we'll see. But I may actually get this as a day one purchase, even for someone like me who likes to save money and wait till sales. So I don't know. I'm excited. I'm cautiously optimistic, but I'm still excited about it.
Oh, the one other thing which I just remembered. World Cosplay Summit finals are today as we are filming this.
Yay!
Approximately a half an hour, they're going to start streaming this on AC Paradise's Ustream channel. The links are all over Facebook. I'm sure some of the competitors have shared them. Please go ahead and support all of the teams by watching them. Now, go ahead and cheer them on Facebook if you would like, but please give your support to these teams because they have worked their butts off to get where they are.
Absolutely.
World Cosplay Summit is not easy. I mean, if you think people bring their A game to conventions normally, people bring their double A game to World Cosplay Summit.
Hey, now.
Very funny.
I try.
It's insane. But please do watch, and if you don't get to watch in real time, there's probably going to be a recording that you can watch. Usually they get uploaded to YouTube fairly quickly. So, fingers crossed for our favorite teams, and we will see who comes out the winner, who will go to compete in Japan. I believe it's around August.
It's usually about that time, and we personally have vested interest in this because one of our really good friends who we have a lot of sewing parties with is in there. As much as we want them to win, we really do want to wish good luck to everybody else in the contest. So, good luck to everybody. Hopefully, all goes well. Hopefully, there's not too many technical issues because we know stuff can sometimes happen. So, best of luck! I'm really excited for everybody. This is going to be fun.
We'll be watching the live stream as soon as it comes up here in just a little bit. Now I'm going to go run and grab food so I can just sit there. And...
it's like we both did the same thing. We're like,
It's always so different every year. You know,
it is, and that's kind of cool. Mm-hmm. I say, even just like perusing their Facebook page, because usually they have like a compilation of all the teams that are going to be involved. It's just like, okay, there's Paradise Kiss, and then there's Soul Calibur, and then we've got some other type of. I mean, it's like, what's going on here? It's got so much variety going on in the contestants and in the skit types this year. It's like, okay, this could be really cool. Let's see what they've got.
Mm-hmm. And the backdrops and the costume transformations are just getting more and more every year because people have to keep raising their game.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we saw it at AllCon this year. Costume transformation was a big thing. So it's catching on. Being able to do all these cool things basically just kind of gives you that extra edge. It's no longer about making things light up anymore. Although, that does help.
It helps out immensely.
Indeed. It's not necessarily a cosplay update, but happy belated birthday to Bill Duran of Punish Props. As is custom, every year on his birthday, he made available his beginner's guide to making amazing props available on his site for free. It was only that day. I did go ahead and download it. And I must say, if you're just looking to get into props, go ahead and get the book. It's worth paying the money for it. I just happened to get it on his birthday. But well worth it because it gives you a very solid rundown of lots of different materials, and it goes through the process of making props. Not in detail. It's not quite detailed like Wolpen's book on painting, which we will be reviewing in a very near future episode.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a very good overview, and I think it will help give those who are just starting out a bit of structure to start from because it's like, well, where the heck do I start? This gives you the place to start. And he also goes into basic power tools, which can also be very intimidating if you walk into Lowe's or Home Depot and don't know what you're doing.
Yeah, it is.
There's a ton of funny stories I've seen in forums lately. Somebody started a thread with, I walked into Home Depot and knew more about what I needed than the guy who was supposed to be helping me.
This sounds like a Tumblr theme already.
It very well could have been. It was on Facebook, but it very well could have been on Tumblr. And there were quite a few people telling stories about walking into Home Depot, Lowe's, Ace, all different hardware stores, looking yep. for things that have nothing to do with their original purpose.
Anytime I go down the plumbing aisle for parts of lightsabers where I make for friends, and they're like, do you need any assistance? I got it. Making a lightsaber. We're good. And then they just leave me alone after that, which is great.
Or having to explain what cosplay is.
Oh, man. At least...
cosplay project.
Yeah. Huh? You get to the point where you're just like, I'm just making something at home. And they typically leave you alone at that point because you just don't want to get into the discussion. Because sometimes for me, it's like, I know what I need. I want to just get in, get out, and get it done. And I'm like that with Joanne's stores now. It's like, there's only one store I go to because I know where everything is, specifically so I can get in, get out. So it's like, no conversations. I got it. We're cool.
Yeah, I didn't have this when I went to Hancock for the first time the other day. They were severely understaffed.
Oh, no.
And I think I spent a whole 45 minutes in the store, and all I needed was two cuts of fabric and one pattern, which I just got. It was waiting for the cuts of fabric that I needed 1 yard and a half yard.
Ouch.
I could have cut it myself.
Yeah.
And I sat there just going, this is Joanne's on steroids. It really was in terms of the wait, because Joanne's gets really busy on the weekends now.
No kidding.
Because cosplay and costuming are becoming such a big thing, and quilting is really making a comeback lately.
I've noticed that too, and especially with Joanne's, they've been having sales more often than normal.
Constantly.
It's almost like if my email doesn't see a new coupon every day, something's wrong. Like, that's consistently for Joanne's now and not compared to some of the other stores. I'm like, okay, something's going on here.
I've noticed their coupons are lesser, too.
Yes, very much
their,
so.
Their sales are lesser. It's no longer the 50, 60% as often. It's usually 30, 40.
But there's more of them, so it's like, okay,
It just depends on what you need and how much of it.
Exactly. Thread!
That's really it. Yeah, because I ended up getting suede for Pyrrhus corset because I don't feel comfortable working in leather yet.
Gotcha.
And
there's
I'm
nothing wrong
not
with that.
Not making that corset out of Warbler. I'd never be able to go to the bathroom.
Yeah, don't.
Oh, I should have said that during the round table, which you guys will be watching here in just a moment. As a beginner, somebody should have told me, make sure you can sit down and go to the bathroom.
Yeah, that's important.
Sacrifice accuracy if you have to. Sacrifice whatever it takes so that you can drink fluids reasonably and be able to purge them from your system instead of dehydrating yourself and not being able to eat because you can't sit on the toilet or sit at all. Yeah. Somebody should have told me that before I learned it the hard way.
That is funny. But you know, I actually said the exact same things. I'm in the process of making my panels for ACON, and one of them is this nice section about body paint. Make sure that you can eat, that you can sit down. Make sure you know what your limitations are, because you can't touch or do anything. Oh, good gravy. Good gravy.
All right, that's all I've got for my updates and or soapbox rantings. Shall we move on to our Anime Boston review and our roundtable?
Absolutely. So this week we have brought back our two correspondents, Katie and Bailey. Catherine couldn't make it this week, but that's okay. She was there in spirit, and she gave me a couple of notes too. So here we go with our Anime Boston review. Enjoy. All right, everybody, so we're into our next segment now. So with us today, we have Bailey and Katie, who are our correspondents. Say hi, ladies.
Hi.
They're going to be joining us for the next two segments. So up first, we've got a review of Anime Boston. Katie, go.
Okay.
Yeah, so Anime Boston was this last weekend, so you'll have to excuse me if I'm coughing and sniffling because I did get conflict about halfway through Anime Boston, completely lost my voice, and like wasn't able to make it out of the hotel at all. So I'm a little bit better now, but I'm still fighting it, so if I cough, just ignore me. So I just want to preface by kind of explaining the layout of Anime Boston. So one of the great things about Anime Boston for me is that the way that the buildings are laid out, so if you get the right hotel, you don't actually have to go outside the entire weekend. And since it's usually really cold and windy and raining and snowing around this time in Boston, it's a really good way to like be able to wear costumes that you wouldn't normally be able to wear in the winter because you don't have to actually go outside. So there are two hotels attached to the convention center and a mall. So if you get one of the two hotels, there's actually more hotels after another mall is connected. Like, there's this big whole complex where you can just walk through different malls and different hotels and actually not have to go outside. So you can go to the food court to eat, like, you can just hang out in your hotel, and you can go straight to the convention center indoors. So you don't actually have to go outside. So you get one of those hotels, you're really set, because it's awesome. You can be like, yay, I'm naked, and just walk straight through. So that's one of the best things that I like about Anime Boston is that you really don't have to go outside at all, so your costume choices are really kind of extended. Oh, and also public transportation, the T, we call it, is the subway station, the subway system in Boston, and that is actually connected to the mall. So again, you don't even have to go outside to get home. You just go downstairs in the mall and just go straight home, which is really awesome for me. So I literally spend the entire weekend not going outside unless there's a supermarket like 10 steps from the doorway, so you can like make a quick dash across the street to the supermarket for like bread and stuff. So Friday, for the panels for Anime Boston, we were looking to try to attend some, but for us, the panels really seemed kind of lackluster, and I think this is a problem with Anime Boston trying to appeal to beginners. But a lot of people at Anime Boston, they go over here. I mean, most of the people that I've talked to who were at Anime Boston have been going since, like, 2000. So at this point, I think they could probably do to have a couple more panels that appeal to a wider audience of people who have already gone to the first panels. So, like, my friend who's into Lolita was there, and she was telling me that the Lolita 101 panel is pretty much the same as it has been for the last, like, 5 years. So that kind of panel really needs to be switched up a little bit, and I think Anime Boston needs to kind of maybe switch out panelists. If you're going to continue to do the 101 panels, I think they should switch out the panelists every year because different panelists have different takes on 101 panels. Even if it's the same 101 panel, a different panelist is going to have a different take on what constitutes 101. I did a couple panels, but my panels are certainly not like super out there on the edge. They're just normal. I just did budgeting, and then we did Masquerades 101, and I got to have two of my former competitive teammates with me on the panel, and it was so fun. And one person who competed with me once, so we were like, yeah, reliving the good old days. And yeah, so that was one of the things I did not like about the panels this year, is that they really, for me, there wasn't anything that I wanted to go to as someone who had been to Anime Boston before and who had been to a con before. A lot of them were just like, cosplay makeup 101, like, cosplay props 101, like that's really the same at every single con, and I feel like they need to branch out a little bit more. And it could be a lack of space too, because they are getting really crowded in the Hines where they are, so it could be a lack of space that's keeping them from kind of expanding their panel schedule. Blah blah blah. So at Anime Boston they have security and bag check. On Friday it was not crowded at all. We got through security / bag check / weapon check in about 10 minutes, which for this con is really good. And you just go, you open your bag, and they poke around like, yep, good, you're gone. No bombs. Go ahead. And sometimes they have a dog sniff it, whatever. So just save that. You guys are distracting me with all the little notes.
That's what you do.
I'll read it. Okay, so yeah, so it was not crowded on Friday. We got into everything, no big deal. There's not really lines for anything unless it was like a super big guest. There was a Greg Ayres panel that we wanted to go to that the line wrapped around the building like 2 times, so we didn't end up going. But, you know, like you kind of expect that with guests. But for like regular panels, not lines. So then we move on to Saturday. And this year, for the first year, Anime Boston put a cap on its attendance. So I feel like there was a big rush to be like, oh my God, we have to go. And it just... Saturday was so crowded. I was coming down with conflict, so I actually skipped a lot of Saturday because I just could not, my ear was starting to go out and starting to whine, so I just could not deal with the crowds. And there was a lot of Heinz security, which is like the convention center security, who were very rude and kind of were treating us like cattle that they were trying to herd into like a meat factory. And they were like, move, like keep walking, no sitting down. Like, I feel like they prepared for the crowd by being like, we need like four times as many security staff. But it didn't really help because they were just like, who cares if you like if you got separated from your group, you were like totally lost forever because they made you keep moving. You couldn't stop and like wait for people. You just, bye friends, we'll see you later, like at the end of the week, I guess. And so that kind of sucked. And a lot of people had problems with that. There were a lot of complaints on the Facebook Anime Social page. And there was a lot of, I was stuck in the elevator with a lot of people who were like, I'm never coming to Anime Boston again because it's too crowded and the security is really mean. So that was an issue. The staff security for the con, I didn't have any problems with, but the security for the convention center was just too much. Like, I'm 23 years old, I don't need to be yelled at like I'm like a tiny child who doesn't understand English. They were also, instead of rooting people through the mall so they could be inside where it was warm and not raining and not extremely windy, they were making people walk all the way around the convention center on the outside to get in through the Heinz entrance, which was, on Saturday, it's about 30 to 40 minute wait to get inside the convention center through bag checks. So you were waiting outside in the rain and the wind and the cold outdoors in your Yoko cosplay. So your wig was getting wrecked. You were freezing. Like, it was just a giant mess, and nobody appreciated that. Luckily, my friends and I have been to the Heinz enough times that we kind of knew the back way where you sneak out towards the other side of the building. We didn't even have to go through bag check. We, like, totally snuck through. We just, like, came around the back. We were only outside for, like, a minute, which was good. But I felt really bad, and a lot of people had a problem with that, which is totally understandable because if you work really hard in a costume, you don't want your weight to get nasty or, like, get hypothermia or, like, get rained on before you go into the convention, especially if the convention is going to be so crowded you're not going to be able to, like, sit or anything. My friend and I actually, my friend Sila, who used to go to conventions like this alone a lot of the times, we went to the convention Saturday morning really early because she had to leave, like, Saturday afternoon to go back to where she had, like, a family thing she had to go to. So we went there really early, like, at, like, 8 in the morning before anything even really opened besides the convention center. And we were kind of just sitting and waiting for the dealer's room to open in the hallway before it got really crowded and kind of reminiscing on how you used to be able to go to this convention alone and meet friends and you used to be able to kind of hang out in the hallways and just chillax and, like, you know, play games and whatever, be a weeb. But now with the crowds and security and everything, you can't really go by yourself because you're going to just get swept up in the crowd, and everybody is too focused to going places, going to meet guests and going to things, and, like, trying, like, you can't sit in the hallway to, like, just hang out and chat, that we were kind of being like, oh, it's really too bad that we don't have this community anymore that we used to have at AMA Boston. And that was another thing that a lot of people were complaining about online. Like, I'm never going to this convention again because I felt so lonely and, you know, I didn't have any friends the entire convention. So, I feel like Anime Boston needs to handle their attendance cap a little bit better. I feel like they really, like, planned for the crowd so it wouldn't be a fire hazard, and they did a really good job with that. There was no fire hazards. But in doing so, they kind of wrecked the ambiance of the con. And a lot of people like me who kind of go as, like, remember the good old days when we were young and sprightly? it kind of ruined it for us because we were like, oh, this is nothing like I remember. It's more like New York Comic Con, and we all know how I feel about that. So, I'm just checking my notes to make sure that I got everything. They also changed up the masquerade a lot this year. They got a new masquerade coordinator who was really great. I've actually met her before. She was backstage a couple of times while I was still in the masquerade at Anime Boston. They changed the judging categories. So, they used to have separate awards for the masquerade versus the... you know, the costume contest where you don't actually have to perform, you just kind of, like, do the catwalk thing. They have separate awards for that. Now they're combined, so there's less awards given out, and you're kind of competing against the people who just did costumes, or you're competing against the people who just did performance. So there's much less awards happening. They also changed up how much time people get for skits. It used to be it was based off how many people you had on stage. Now it's based off of what division you're in. So if you're a novice, you get a certain time, versus if you're a masterclass, you get a certain time, regardless of how many people you have on stage. For me, this was a good and a bad thing, because I think that single people on the stage, even if they're in masterclass, should not have 3 minutes plus. I don't think it works ever. I've never seen it work for 3 minutes when you're a single person on stage. But I do appreciate that people in masterclass like me who have ideas that will take a longer time, but not necessarily a ton of people, don't have to pad out their skits with extra people just to do a skit that they want to do. And that they can kind of make work because they have, like, more experience on the stage. So, yeah, I think that's about it.
So now, for Anime Boston, how many times have you been? I know this is obviously not your first time going.
I think this is going to – this was my sixth or seventh, maybe eighth year, something like that. I've been going – this was the first convention I ever went to, so I've been going for a while.
Okay. And saying, where does it take place at? Because I know it's not at some of the same locations as, like, PAX East.
No, it's not. PAX East is over on the harbor side. Anime Boston is in the center of Boston. So Boston, okay. Like, Central Square, it's, like, right there. And so it's really centrally located to a lot of cool stuff. Like, and you're really on the right line to go to, like, touristy stuff. Like, you're on the right line for the trains to go to Chinatown, go to the aquarium, anything like that. You literally, you don't have to switch trains. You just get on and get off. You're really cool to all these, like, Christian Science Center, all these cool buildings and stuff like that. And there's a ton of nice restaurants around that because it's just a really populated area.
I say, very, very well put, very concise, too. I think it kind of gives a good overview of what was going on.
Dense, all of Anime Boston. I was like, oh, good. So, like, 72 hours worth of con condensed into 5 minutes. Good.
Totally feasible, completely possible.
Question in writing that I only glanced at something about panels.
Yeah, because Amber and I were both nodding our heads when you made the statement that there were a lot of beginner panels, not a whole lot of intermediate and advanced stuff. What kind of panels would you like for Anime Boston to have in the future?
I know that they tend to shy away from this, but I really, if it's well done, you can enjoy the kind of like character run panels. Anime Boston generally dumps all of these unless it's like a show like Attack on Titan. Like Attack on Titan, they'll let you have like a character-driven skit. But well, like if you wanted to do like something kind of off-center, you can't really. So I would love to see those, though they're kind of hard to get like well done, I guess, because sometimes they just turn into kind of a free-for-all. And I'd love to see more of like shows. I would like to see panels on shows that are not necessarily the most popular. Like, let's break down some sports anime. Like, let's go see, like, remember that one show that nobody watched, like, Ghost Hunt? Let's talk about Ghost Hunt. Let's talk about scary shows. You know, like, everybody, all the shows, all the panels are really, like, broad, and they're really, like, when they're specific, they're about stuff I didn't watch. Like, I didn't watch Attack on Titan, so I don't want to go to that panel. And I feel like Attack on Titan, everybody knows it, so there's no point on having a panel for that because it's literally just going to be like, remember that time that one thing happened? Yeah, I do remember that. Everyone in this room has watched this show, so there's not really anything to explore for me. So I would like to see some more off-the-cuff stuff. Like, it can still be related to anime, but it doesn't have to be the same stuff that everybody else has because if you literally took Anime Boston and, like, KatsuCon side by side, they would be almost identical, except for Anime Boston was way boring. Like, way more boring.
So, question for you. I know that you mentioned the there's too many 101 panels, and a lot of the issue with that is that you have to have qualified people who are willing to teach 201. You can't just have, you know, anybody teach it unless they know it. Does Anime Boston have, you know, a good bevy of qualified panelists who might be able to teach that sort of thing, or is it just that nobody wants to teach it?
I think that they do. And for me specifically, one of the panels that I ran, the Masquerade 101, they had a very similar panel like the hour before this one that was basically like how to be in a masquerade. Like, it was literally the same panel, like with the same description, just us versus them. And I feel like one of us should have been told, can you boost it up to 201? Instead of having two 101 panels that are basically the same thing, because I feel like I could do a 201 panel on masquerades because I've been doing it and whatever, I have trophies, whatever, like that means anything. But, like, especially the fact that I had I had guest panelists with me who were on my team. I had someone who had only competed with me once. And I feel like together with the four of us, we really could have put on a good 201 panel if I had known about it. Like, mm-hmm. I could have done it. So if they have these repeat things and they're seeing everybody, like, you know, submitting the same thing, they should be like, well, you did this panel last year at this convention. Can you do a 201 panel? And I feel like they definitely have the base of knowledge for this because it's Boston. It's like the cultural center of this, like, big area, kind of. You know what I mean? So, like, New England, like, Boston is, like, the big city. So everybody from New England comes to this con. It's, like, one of the biggest cons in the area besides maybe, like, Otakon or New York Comic Con, where they don't even allow guests, like, they don't allow panels who are guests in New York Comic Con. So this is your, like, time to shine. And they have all these, like, cool minds and all these people. Like, there was, like, over, like, 20,000 people at this con. There's got to be at least 10 people who've been to 201 panels. There's got to be.
I know online a lot of people say that it is the anime convention to go to on the East Coast. So I guess if I ended up having the money to go across the country to another convention, would you recommend that to people who aren't in the immediate area?
Yeah, I would. Anime Boston is really strictly about anime, and that is not something you necessarily find at a lot of cons nowadays. Nowadays, a lot of the cons are trying to branch out into other things to kind of include everybody. And Anime Boston, you see people who are cosplaying from all over the place. Like, you find League of Legends cosplays. I cosplayed, like, League of Legends the entire weekend. Like, whatever, that's not an anime. But the panels and the programming are really more anime-specific. So for once, we're not, like, at, you know, New York Comic Con, we're not getting pushed into a corner in the basement. Like, anime is the thing. So if you really like anime, it's, like, a great place to go. And they have a ton of really cool guests. Like, Greg Ayres is always there. Greg Ayres is my homeboy. I love Greg Ayres. And the Masquerade is on par because they are super, super strict with it. So it's usually really good.
Well, thank you so much for the review. That was very, very cool. Much appreciated. This segment, we're going to be doing a roundtable with our correspondent. The topic for the segment is called Beginnings, What I Know Now That I Wish I Knew When I Started Cosplaying. And we're going to kind of have a couple of questions thrown out, see where the discussion takes us. So you ladies, feel free to chime in whenever you feel like it. So our very first question that I'm going to start this off with is, what tools do you know about now that you wish you had known when you started cosplaying?
I have a new sewing machine now that I didn't have way back when I started first cosplaying. I had a sewing machine that was from, like, 1991, and it was awful. And I wish that I had known that there was a better alternative to that because it was so bad. That sewing machine is so mean. It's, like, the worst. So I wish that I could, like, go back and be like, there's $50 sewing machines at Walmart that are Brothers and are just better than the ones you're using. Please go buy one.
See, you know, when I started, I ended up getting, like, this $20 Shark sewing machine from Target, and I still have it in my closet. It is the worst thing that I have ever purchased, and I cannot believe that I bought that for cosplaying. But it was my very first sewing machine. It was all that I could afford after I bought all my fabric, and I still spent, like, half my time hand sewing, so it was completely useless.
I inherited this one from my grandma, and it just does not like me. Just doesn't. It's like dusty or something. It's never worked right. It doesn't do zigzag. It barely does straight stitch. It's just bad.
Yeah, mine can sort of kind of do a straight stitch, but after a while I was like, it's faster if I hand sew because it would just keep bird nesting constantly. Easily I can say I wish I had invested in a better tool back then. I definitely paid for that mistake later on. Now that I have a nice $600 sewing machine, that's totally different, but...
Yeah, I like my Brothers. I don't know. It's like, I got it on sale at Walmart, I should preface. So it's $50 on sale. Usually I think it's like $130. But the Brothers are so different than the Singers that I'm like a Brothers person forever now. I'm like, I hate you Singers. Leave me alone.
And say, I'm Amber, I'm going to guess for you is going to be a Dremel.
It isn't that I didn't know about Dremel. It's more that it, like sewing machines, I wish that I had taken the time and money to invest in a better quality tool from the get-go, because I had a cheap Dremel for a long time that did what it was supposed to do. It just didn't do it well, and it took me a lot more time cleaning up after that than if I had just gotten the good quality Dremel in the first place, which I really love my Black & Decker RTX. But the other thing that I really wish that I had invested in the first place was an orbital sander or a palm sander.
Yeah.
Because for those who have done prop making and armoring, sanding is very important. Those words should be bold, underlined, italicized. Very important. Sanding by hand takes forever. And if you don't have a sanding block, then the friction can actually burn your hands from the constant sanding. So having a palm sander, an orbital sander, a belt sander, those things make sanding a lot quicker, a lot cleaner, and a lot less hard on you. And it also helps preserve your patience in cosplay, which can wear very thin for the amount of sanding that you have to do.
And preserve your hands. That's very important, too.
As many times as I've stabbed, cut, painted, done all sorts of good things to my hands, there is no preservation.
There is no preservation, only cosplay. All right, Bailey, what tool do you wish you had known about when you started?
Well, the only thing I can really think of is, I don't even know if Warblow was out, but I wish I had known about that when I made a clay necklace charm, because it broke right when we got to the convention, and it was the only cosplay I had that year, and it was like a main thing, because it was one of the Vocaloids, so it was a little thing. That was the main thing that we took all this time making.
And then usually you don't find out about all that cool stuff until after you made it, and you're like, oh, there's something else I could have used that maybe would have kept it all together. Wow, that sucks.
Yeah.
And you don't want to take the time to remake it because it took forever the first time. It's probably going to take as long the second time.
Yeah.
Warp has been around for a little while because it wasn't originally used for cosplay. It was, oddly enough, used for making shoes.
Hmm.
This is uncomfortable.
It's one of those things kind of like where you walk into Home Depot and you just look at something and you're like, I could totally repurpose that for cosplay. Even though that wasn't its original intended purpose, that's kind of what happened to Warbler.
That's kind of funny, because just the other day I was looking on Pinterest, I think, and there was a tutorial on how to make shoes for cosplay out of Warbler, and I was thinking, that just doesn't seem comfortable. But now that I know that's what it was originally used for.
I think it had more to do with the soles and the framing than the actual like body of the shoe. It was used for the parts that don't flex so much, because for those who have worked with Warbler, it does not flex very much.
You would just smush your toes. Toe murder.
And it's funny, is that I see so many people who actually use Warbler to make their shoes, and I just look at them like they're absolutely insane. It's like, aren't you worried about like not being able to bend your toes or your foot? Or like, paint cracking has got to happen all the time, right? Just no. I don't like Warbler anyway, so no. My Warbler ban continues.
Until you get your hands on the transparent stuff.
Because then I can make all the gems I want.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I don't have to worry about Christmas balls anymore. I know, she's shaking her head. So, okay, so my follow-up question to this is, I know you ladies have started cosplaying a little bit later than Amber and I did. We call ourselves the elders for a reason, because we started at a time before Googling tutorials became a habit. So how much or how often do you think Google wasn't a factor in your early days of cosplay?
It's still 100% what I do whenever I start to cosplay.
Yeah, I am pretty much constantly Googling, like, on my phone, like, while I'm at the sewing machine, like, I wonder if there's an easier way to do this that I don't have to sew my fingers to this pair of pants.
I wonder if somebody else had a better idea than what I have.
Yeah, because it's like, especially for, like, prop stuff, I'm not good at that, so I always look for tutorials on, like, big prop stuff, because the stuff I make, not good.
Yeah, I definitely, when I was able to Google and found Kamui for the spear I'm about to make, I was like, yes!
Yeah, because for us, we come from a time where this stuff just wasn't abundant. You maybe had one or two things available about craft foam, and that was it. Everything else, you kind of had to stumble and figure it out. And
you had Coscom and you had DeviantArt.
If you were lucky. Yeah. And you had to hope people responded to your forum question because you're SOL otherwise. Good time to be alive.
Not to mention that for those who did answer your forum questions, it wasn't always somebody who actually had done it before. It was either somebody else saying, yeah, I want to know how to do this too. Or it was somebody going, well, you could do it this way. But it wasn't quite what you were looking for. Like, and that was just the nature of forums.
Like mm-hmm. that terrifying forum on cosplay.com about painting your own contacts. And everyone's like, please don't. Oh, my God, please don't.
Oh, God. Oh, my head hurts just thinking about that. Don't do that.
My eyes.
Right? Yeah, I know that I have contributed to a number of those topics. In particular, the painting and dyeing fabric thread was pretty much my thing that I kept adding on to it. It's kind of died out since then, but it's like, that was essentially it. That was our entire resources of, okay, you happen to know something cool. You happen to know something cool. Type up something really quickly so we can shove it into a forum, and then there's our thread.
When I first started cosplaying, there was actually, I think, less Googling going on than there is now, because I would kind of like reach out to my like network of like people who have knowledge of things and be like, hey, I'm doing this. Do you know how to do this? And that would usually work better than me trying to, like, randomly Google things. Because at the time, I, like, don't know what I'm looking for. Like, one time I remember I was trying to make, like, poofy pants, and I kept Googling, like, pumpkin pants, and it just wasn't working.
Yeah, definitely my very first time, I spent a lot of time at my friend's house bombarding her with questions, being like, okay, this is what I have. What do I do with it? Mm-hmm. And she'd be like, Bailey, you need to either do this or stop asking questions.
That sounds about right. I know for me, I didn't actually start until I went to a convention and I talked to people who were dressed up as stuff. And I was like, okay, what is this thing that you're doing? How can I do this? And I was lucky that I was taught how to sew back when I was 10 years old, and I've always been able to sew, and I've done like a lot of hand stitching and stuff, so that part was really easy to me. It was just learning about the whole fact that cosplay existed. And it's like, okay, now that I know it's here, how do I take that next step and actually make a costume? For some reason, my brain couldn't compute, even though I was in my early 20s. It was like, okay, I know they're wearing clothing, but I don't know how to make the clothing, but I really know how to sew the clothing. Like, it couldn't compute the fact that sewing and putting on a costume is totally the same thing. It's just I need to correlate the two somehow. Yeah, my brain was not very smart. I needed Google badly.
When I first started sewing my own costumes, that was my problem too. Because I knew how to sew because my mom made me help her with quilts and stuff, but I didn't know how to make clothes.
So yeah, it was like little things, like I could do patches, I could do buttons. I mean, I knew the basics that I could make it all happen, but I couldn't like okay, I actually have to make real pants now.
Yeah, I was constantly, me and my mom were constantly just trying to figure out how to use the different patterns, and I still can't figure out the commercial patterns. So
yes, that's my biggest thing.
No, I kind of do.
Mm-hmm. Like, commercial patterns and I do not get along at all. I mean, I pretty much make every single one of my patterns. The one pattern I purchased was for a corset, and then I gave it to Amber.
Which I gave back.
Yeah, which I have back now. Yay! I don't know when I'm going to use it again, but it's like that's the one pattern that I've bought in the last 8-plus years of cosplaying. It's, I still don't understand them. I still do not get them. So
yeah, once you did the tutorial on how to do how you do your newspaper patterns, I was like, all right, getting a dress form and I'm doing this.
Makes things easier, doesn't it?
I guess I'm odd man out. I still don't really use Google. I never did, and I still don't.
You really are the odd man out, because that seems like to be the go-to. I mean, everybody's like, use your Google, Google Foo.
It does, but at the same time, and I don't mean this to sound pompous, I really don't, but I've always been a really good reverse engineer. It's very rare for me to find something that I can't figure out on my own how to do.
Mm-hmm.
The only reason that I ever go to Google is mostly to browse for ideas as opposed to how-tos. And usually I follow enough cosplay people that they'll post something that I didn't necessarily know that I didn't know how to do or know that this other method existed. So it's more like, oh, hey, that's kind of neat. I'll add it to my arsenal for later. It's not that I need it right now, but hey, it's cool, and I could potentially do this later. But that's mostly why I don't Google, is I haven't ever come across a need for it yet. So that's just kind of my odd man out thing. I spend a lot of my time on Instructables.
I could see that, especially since you do so much armor and prop making. I could see where Instructables could probably come in handy by comparison to Google, which may have this vast series of resources and knowledge, but it's like, how do you tailor it and narrow it down? Instructables gives you more of that narrow channel.
Google is very good.
Yeah, I can see where you're coming from.
Because Google is great if you're shooting in the dark.
Sure.
If you don't know what it is you're looking for. Because I know pretty much what I'm looking for, it's better for me to go to Instructables and the RPF, because it'll be a very narrow search.
Sure.
Sorry, Bailey, didn't mean to cut you off there.
Yeah, go ahead, Bailey.
It's to use Google, because that's the only way that I learned the terms for keyhole and like applique. I wouldn't have known what that was, and I wouldn't have known what to Google for if I wasn't following other cosplayers who were doing it.
Yeah, I say Google Foo, but I really mean Tumblr Foo.
Yeah.
I feel like I get most of my tutorials off of Tumblr, and that's probably because I follow the, like, cosplay tutorial Tumblr, and so I just, like, go through and I read every single tutorial. I'm like, maybe I'll have to do that someday. And I just assume that I'm storing that innate knowledge, like, in my brain somewhere. Like, I'm going to look at this and know instantly how to do it after I read this.
I do the same thing.
Yeah, Tumblr has really been becoming like this growth of cosplay content. Like even just this morning, I saw this really cool chart about fabric types and what will work best for what garment. And it was just this simple like four-pot pattern. And I was like, this is genius. I need to reblog this. I mean, I'm getting more of my content from Tumblr now than from Google. And that's just strange to me.
Almost every person I follow on Tumblr is a cosplayer, because I really like seeing people's work in progress pics, because then it like encourages me to go work on stuff. I'm like, well, look, they finished a thing. Now I should go finish a thing. Follow their good example and finish a thing. So I'm always like, oh my god, look at that. Oh my god, look at that.
Yeah.
I'm definitely with you there. Okay, so next question that I have up is, what advice that you wish you had received when you first started cosplaying? And this can be from, like, elder cosplayers or from your friends or anything like that.
Ventilate.
That's true.
Fire, maybe?
Don't start so many fires?
I don't start most of them voluntarily.
Voluntarily.
And it isn't even the fires that need ventilation, because ventilating fires makes them get bigger, by the way.
That's a bad idea.
I mean ventilate when it comes to smelly chemicals that I have the guts to start working with in the living room of my enclosed apartment.
Sure.
I did wear a respirator, but that doesn't make the smell go away.
No, that doesn't make the smell go away, but at least you were conscious enough to use the respirator. Most people don't do that, even when they're sanding.
I opened the window and I used a room circulation fan, but it wasn't enough. That doesn't count as ventilation, guys.
No, that
especially
does not
with
count.
Fiberglass.
I wish someone had told me, like, you don't have to procrastinate and, like, not start costumes until, like, 3 weeks before every convention I go to. But I know me, and I probably would have never listened to that, so I wish somehow I had not gotten into the habit of procrastinating. Like, I'm going to this convention. It's, like, mid-May, I think. It's Steampunk World's Fair. I still haven't started any of those costumes. I, like, ordered some pieces. Whatever.
Awesome. Yeah, actually, what's funny is Catherine, who is our West Coast correspondent, said pretty much the same thing. Something along the lines of she wished somebody had told her that she should spend more time learning and to give herself the time to learn versus trying to procrastinate and do something at the last minute.
Well, once you get into the habit, like, I remember in, like, 2011, I managed to finish 3 costumes in 2 weeks. And ever since then, I'm just like, yeah, I can totally do it. So that was a terrible habit to get into, and now I, like, can't get out of it. So I wish that, like, someone had been like, stop doing this. You better stop.
It's like you got to give yourself the time to actually complete the costume. Don't try to rush it.
I learned that the hard way.
I think we all learned that the hard way.
I still rush my costumes.
I mean, I think we all still do it. Like, I've gotten into this weird habit of giving myself, like, a 2-week challenge. And if I don't get it done, it doesn't get worn. That's not a problem. But it's like, for the last, every PAX that I've attended, it's like, okay, 2-week challenge. I've got all these materials. I can make this costume in 2 weeks. Let's see if I can do it. And it's just more of a fun, like, you know, challenging and testing myself. Not so much a, hey, let's stay up till midnight or 5 in the morning and have my fingers bleeding by the end of it. No, no, no. So that's intentional procrastination, yes.
I know a girl who gives herself a 24-hour challenge to see how if she can complete a costume in, like, a day.
What? No!
I wouldn't work
hard to them. You know, that's their thrill. Go right ahead. I happen to value sleep.
I like to sleep even though I have insomnia.
Even, like, yeah, do that all the time. They're like, yeah, I only have 2 weeks to make this costume before this, like, cool event I'm going to. And you just, like, watch them and you're like, oh, I want to do that too. They're setting a bad example.
Don't trust heroes of cosplay.
Yeah, a lot of those are time compressed, for one. But for two, a lot of the people that are doing this, like, I've seen Kamui do it too, costume in less than 2 weeks, or sometimes even 3 nights. For a lot of these people, cosplay is their day job. They can do this. For those of us, and I'm not meaning this as criticism, but for those of us that have mundane day jobs, we can't do that.
Or we have school.
We have to make a paycheck.
Day job.
Yeah. School is
a
day job.
A lot of those people have circumstances where they can do 24-hour, 72-hour, whatever. Most of us can't do that.
I feel like even if I didn't have to go anywhere, I still wouldn't get anything done because to, like, sit in a sewing machine for, like, 12 hours is really, like, physically hard for me. I don't know if it's the same for everyone else, but, like, it's physically difficult for me to, like, sit in the same position for, like, 12 hours. I don't think I can really do it. So, like, even if I had, whatever, all the time in the world for the last, like, 3 days before the convention, I still don't think I'd be able to finish stuff like that because I just can't, sit like that all day. It, like, hurts my back and, like, makes me want to cry.
Yeah, it's actually bad for you to be sitting in that position for so long. It can be really unhealthy for you. You can develop symptoms over time. I know for me, like, just the past week, I've been doing a lot of applique, but I can't sit at my machine the entire time. I have to get up at least once every half hour and walk around, or I go insane.
I once spent an entire week just sitting at my sewing machine, and I maybe got one or two parts of the costume done because I had keep stopping and ripping pieces open because I sewed it wrong or, like, the fabric got all jumbled underneath or just something somehow went wrong. And I'm still like, how would I ever get that costume done in 2 weeks?
Right? Because stuff happens. Sometimes it's like your machine breaks and there goes your entire plan.
Yeah.
Hand sewing it is. So I guess for me, something that I wish people had said to me when I first started cosplaying is there's no right or wrong way to cosplay. Because for me, when I first started, I was always really concerned about making sure that I fit the character or that I fit the persona or I fit the body image. And after my second costume, I realized, well, that's not what everybody else is doing. They're dressing up as the people that they want to dress up as. They want to be who they want to be. And it's like, why am I trying to fit myself into this little category when I can do so much more?
Like being
exactly. I mean, seriously, that's what I love to do on Halloween is be something that I'm not, going in the completely different direction. That's why I love to play as the bad guys, because I know that's not who I am in real life. So I wish the people had told me from the beginning that I didn't have to fit myself into this little box, that I could expand and do anything that I want. There are no limitations.
I guess I wish somebody had told me that when you're cutting a wig, you don't just go, you know, straight across. I wish I had somebody there to tell me how to cut a wig because it looked really bad. I thinned it out way too much.
The Anime Boston just posted this like official post on their forum about the security problem, and they were like, they didn't mean to be so rude. Maybe stop freaking out. We're gonna address it. Like we're just gonna, you know, keep working on our relationship with the Prudential Center, which is the mall that's attached to it. So, at least they're aware of the problem and they're like trying to fix it, which is good.
Okay, so yeah, those are really the only questions I have. Amber, do you have any more you want to add in there or throw in there?
Not that I can think of offhand, although in general, I feel like I've come a long way since I was a beginner.
Oh, we all have.
Well, remember that I've actually been cosplaying, I think, longer than all of you guys.
Oh yeah, by far. You are like, hands down, the queen
of
it all.
The elder of elders when it comes to cosplay. Because I am a Rennie. I actually came from a Ren Faire background, so I've been doing this forever without calling it cosplay. But one of the nice things that I've noticed moving up from beginner to probably what would be considered master level at this point, even though I don't think I'm master level, is that it's better to invest in quality materials, and I don't just mean fabric, even though that's kind of what I was getting at, but in general, it's a lot better to do less costumes and have them last and have them look and feel better on you than to just whip out constant costumes and have them made of crappy materials that you might get one or two conventions wear out of. And that's something that I've had to learn progressing from beginner up. Cosplay costs a heck of a lot of money, guys.
Mm-hmm.
Not quite as bad as photography, not quite as bad as videography, not quite as bad as, you know, some other hobbies that we all know and love, like owning antique vintage cars.
But, or that.
But if you're, well, it's because I passed a vintage car show on the way home from work.
Oh, whoa, okay.
They were nice vintage cars.
Yeah, they are.
So one of the things that I would tell beginners to kind of reverse this is to make sure that you have good quality tools to start with before you even touch your materials. Go ahead and invest in, even if it's not the uber nice tools, you don't have to buy a DeWalt your first time out. But get decent tools. Because not only does it last longer, but it makes your life a lot easier.
Mm-hmm.
And then having better quality materials will also make your life easier because they tend to work with you instead of against you for what you have in mind, even though you may not know that.
Mm-hmm.
So I would definitely say that. And I would also definitely say that I was never afraid of making mistakes, and that was probably something that saved me as a beginner.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because if you're afraid of constantly making mistakes or not being good enough, you're never going to progress. And I wouldn't have done half the wacky things that I have done with my cosplay, particularly involving magnets and washers and lighting things on fire and all that good stuff, if I had been afraid to do these things. You can't really be afraid of it. Cosplay is a lot like a science experiment. It is both a science and an art. And you're going to have to screw up to learn from it. Or have somebody else screw up in front of you and then you learn from them instead. Usually the nicer way of doing this. Which is why when you see our tutorials, we screw up in front of you purposefully. So that
darn
you can
right
see,
we do.
You
can
is that what you're saying now? It's on purpose.
It is always on purpose, no.
Some of the time it is on purpose, because it's like, okay, I know how this is going to turn out, but I'm going to do it anyway for those who don't know. Like holding a heat gun and styrene too long. I know what's going to happen, but other people might not, And if I can save them the heartache, one, from having this uber awesome piece that they ruin by doing that, and two, it's a ruined material. You have to throw it out and start over, so that costs money and time. Mm-hmm. So if I can save other people that time, money, and, you know, frustration, sure, that's what tutorials are for. It's helping other people learn. So yes, I screw up both purposefully and not so purposefully in my tutorials because it is educative. That's the whole point. But in doing those, you have to be willing to make those mistakes. I'm not saying be willing to injure yourself. That's different. There's a word for people who do that. I'm saying don't be afraid to make mistakes. Okay, I'm off my soapbox.
Yay, soapbox. That's actually a good way to end this on. We should probably end this with our piece of advice to anybody who wants to start cosplaying. And I guess for me, mine is don't be afraid to ask questions. Here's the caveat. Please Google and Indeed and Instructables all of your questions before you ask them because they may have already been answered. But don't be afraid to ask the questions because you never know. Somebody may have a unique answer for you. All right, so Katie or Bailey, one of you two, go.
My advice for people starting out would be don't be intimidated by pictures of really impressive costumes you see because some normal person made that who is just as normal as you. And you, if you are willing to put the time and effort into learning and experimenting, you can make that same costume just as well. So you shouldn't be intimidated and be like, oh my God, cosplay God, I can't possibly ever make something like that. You absolutely can. Don't be intimidated. You can do it.
Good advice.
Okay. Building off of that, you can make that person your goal. So if you want to build up to that, you can. It'll take time, but it's good to make those mistakes and learn what you need to do to get there because that person started where you are. Everybody starts at a beginning point, and not everybody starts knowing everything. They all have to learn by messing up and then figuring out how to do it the right way or a different way. There's not a right way to do it.
Very good. I think we all build off of each other. Nice. Well, that is all for our roundtable discussion. So thank you very much, Bailey and Katie. You will be seeing them again on the show. That's for certain. They've got so many cons coming up with the summer coming around the corner. We'll be abusing their trust. So thank you, ladies.
Thank you.
Thanks.
And we're back. Hopefully you guys enjoyed that lovely roundtable. It was definitely a good discussion. And there's a lot of things we have learned from being beginners.
We've all grown since then, that's for sure. Even if you've only been cosplaying for 1 year, it's interesting to see how much you can change in just that short period of time.
And definitely how much you learn. The internet has made it a lot easier to learn things quickly when it comes to cosplay. So we invite those of you who are in the know and are willing to teach those 201 panels, go to your local convention and please do teach. And if you don't enjoy public speaking, if you feel intimidated, you can go ahead and film it privately in your home in front of a camera so that you're just by yourself and then post it on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
And that way, you know, we can share knowledge with other people in a little bit more of an intimate setting so that you don't have to worry about public speaking to, say, you know, 100 people in a room. You know, teaching is not necessarily for everybody. Public speaking is not for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And you can always, you know, find alternatives if you have stage anxiety. Now, same thing for competitions. Not everybody is cut out to walk the stage. And that's okay. You can always do the hall cosplay contest where you don't have to walk the stage. Or you can do the catwalk that a lot of cons are starting to do now to where it's a little bit less intimidating. You kind of got to build up your endurance there. Until you're like us and you've done it like forever.
Yeah, where we're just like, whatever, okay, let's just do it.
Pretty much, that is it. Let's just do it.
Let's just do it. Let's just go. And especially now that we're at the point where we have done almost everything short of running a convention, it's like, well, technically Amber already has. She's essentially assisted on most. She's helped. Yeah. We haven't, like, chaired one.
Your staff, but I didn't run it myself. I helped.
Right. It's like you haven't been a chair.
Thank God.
I don't think I will ever want to do that. That just seems too daunting of a task. I'm cool with cosplay contest level, and that's about it.
If I had a good team under me where I could delegate safely, I'd probably be okay with it. But until then, no, I don't want to chair a con. There's just too much going on, especially with my career right now, that I couldn't dedicate the time to properly do it, which is why I dropped my panels for ACON. I just can't justify spending that time right now in my life with work, with my house, and everything else, that I couldn't put out the quality I wanted. I'd say the same about a con.
Mm-hmm. Makes sense.
Two other things to mention, briefly, before we go ahead and break for this episode. One is, happy pre-birthday, Val.
Yay!
You will be turning another year older very shortly, probably by the next time that you guys hear this podcast, when it releases.
Yeah, more than likely. Probably the day that this releases is when my birthday will be.
Woo!
What's Val doing? Working.
Yay. Yeah, very, very probably the day that this drops, since I have something else going the next day. But the other thing I wanted to mention is that Free Comic Book Day is coming up.
Yes, we like Free Comic Book Day.
So those of you who are of the comic persuasion, I believe it is May 2nd?
Yes, it is.
So head over to your favorite comic book shops. Please do support them. You know, not just on Free Comic Book Day, but in general, please support your local shops, because that's primarily how a lot of people get their merchandise. And we would like to support them, because they are local businesses. Mm-hmm. So we heavily promote this. Go ahead and get your free comic. Hobnob with other fans. You know, socialize. Get to know other geeks and nerds in your community. And just generally have a good time.
And there is one more thing that I forgot that we totally needed to give a shout out to. Radcast is back on the air. Our buddies at Radcast are back and running. And their last episode was PG-13. So it's definitely Cospod approved.
Generally, their episodes are not safe for work depending on the industry that you work in. This one is pretty legit. For the most part.
I was really happy to hear their voices again. It made my day at work so much better.
Yes, I have listened to that podcast twice already. It is listed on our website if you guys would like to go and listen to it. It's in the directory section down at the bottom. And in fact, I believe it's also on the homepage now. We did a section promoting fellow podcasters.
Yay! Go us!
So if you would like to find other cosplay podcasts, we are not the only one. If you guys would like to listen to them, then please head over to our directory areas. We have listed several cosplay podcasts. They're both current and slightly outdated for a couple of them. And we also have a section underneath that of fellow non-cosplay podcasts that we also support, fellow geeky and nerdy podcasts. Anything else for today?
That's all I got. That one just happened to pop in my head. I was like, oh crap, I got to talk about them real quick.
All right, well, as always, you guys can contact us at podcast@cospod.org. If you have interview suggestions, we are always happy to take those, convention reviews, tutorials, and any other questions, comments, concerns, suggestions that you guys may have for us. We are not senpais. We are very normal people. You guys can chat with us. We're good with it. Other than that, please remember to rate and review us on iTunes. We are very grateful when you guys do that. It is helping us climb in the popularity lists, and it's giving us visibility. Welcome, of course, to our brand new viewers across the country and across the world. We hope you guys enjoy what you see. And other than that, we would like to say thank you, as always, for downloading and listening to the show. Thank you guys for your support. We will see you guys in episode 88. Bye, everybody.
Bye, guys.
Go watch World Cosplay Summit.
Yay! Go watch!